Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And this was Red Sox President Larry Lucchino and Chairman Tom Werner less than 2 weeks ago talking about the possibility that General Manager Theo Epstein would be leaving the team's front office.
Theo is under contract with us, so it's just not, it's an issue that has not been addressed.
Nor do I hope to address it, because I think we feel collectively that he's one of the best general managers in baseball.
Well, today, the story around Fenway Park is much different. It appears that Epstein, who helped end the team's 86-year World Series drought, will be leaving Boston. Reports today say Epstein will be headed to Chicago to try to help the Cubs bring home their first championship since 1908.
According to those reports, Epstein has reached a deal to join Chicago's front office, a deal worth nearly $20 million over 5 years. If true, he leaves Boston with a pretty great, but far from perfect, legacy. Epstein, of course, is the man who put together two championship teams in just 4 seasons, but he was also the architect of this year's squad that suffered the worst September collapse in baseball history. Joining us now, as he does most Wednesdays, is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hey, Bill.
Hello, Anthony.
So what do you make of this news that Epstein is Chicago-bound?
I make of this news that a man has been offered $15 million and a promotion, and he said, okay, when do you want me there? He's also getting the opportunity to walk away from a shambles, and which of us would not relish that opportunity?
Walk away from a shambles, but he's also walking away from an area that where he made a mark. His family is here.
Absolutely.
He grew up here. He's a lifelong Red Sox fan. But you know, what's the appeal of Chicago?
Well, I think part of the appeal, besides what I've already spoken about, is the challenge. The Cubs, I mean, what a wonderful accomplishment it would be if he, having brought the Red Sox not one but two world championships, then brought one to the Cubs, who haven't had one since, I don't know who was president in 1908. I can't remember.
I think
off the
it
top
was
of
Julius Caesar.
But anyway, what a marvelous way to go down in baseball history as the guy who ended the alleged curses of two of the allegedly most cursed teams ever.
Well, it would be something indeed if he could turn that team around and deliver a world championship. Now, is there an obvious candidate to take over for Theo Epstein? And if these reports are true, where does that leave the search for a manager now that Terry Francona has gone?
All of the alleged experts are saying that Ben Cherington will take over for Theo Epstein. He's been with the Red Sox since 2002. He's a New Hampshire guy, so he's a New Englander too. Been close to Epstein, viewed as very similar in terms of his approach to building a team. Lots of importance to the statistics and the Bill James-type thinkers. I would think that they would look for a manager who was on that same page, you know, somebody who was very much a numbers kind of a guy. And maybe that would be enough. They bring in somebody new. It's a new voice, as Terry Francona said when he said maybe they need a new voice. Maybe they just need to hear from somebody other than him, and it would be a new voice rather than necessarily a new message.
Well, Bill, it's an interesting story. You know, and I keep having these moments in this program where we're talking about the Red Sox, and I keep thinking this is the last time we're going to be talking about the Red Sox.
You've lived in Boston long enough to know that there is no such thing as the last time.
So, as by way of transition, since we're talking about the Red Sox, there was a fascinating front page story in today's Boston Globe about the team's epic September collapse. Mm-hmm. Now, among the revelations, as you know, pitchers drinking beer, ordering fried chicken, playing video games during games and instead of cheering on their teammates, a manager distracted by health and family issues, a lack of leadership from some key players, overall dysfunction, it sounds like, in the clubhouse. What struck you about all of this?
Well, I'm always a little bit, you know, careful about articles where the sources aren't named. Mm-hmm. And most of the people who spoke to these issues did not wish to have their names used. And in any organization, there are going to be people who are sore about something, who resent the organization for some reason or resent some of the people connected with it. I didn't see any real demonstration that Terry Francona had been distracted by anything. It wasn't like Casey Stengel falling asleep in the seventh inning in the dugout when he was managing the old New York Mets. As far as fast food and beer and video games in the clubhouse, I dare you to find a major league clubhouse where there aren't fast food, beer, and video games present. And nobody would be talking about any of these things if they'd won three or four more games in September and gotten into the playoffs.
That's just the thing. If they'd gotten in the playoffs, we would have been hearing stories about the terrific leadership.
Great leadership and getting ready for the big drive toward the World Series and the rest of it. So I don't deny that any of this stuff was going on, with the exception of Terry Francona being distracted. I just have no particular evidence of that. But I don't think that this is terrifically unusual.
Okay, so let's talk about basketball. The NBA lockout is still on, and the NBA commissioner has already canceled the first 2 weeks of the regular season. Do you see any chance of a resolution anytime soon?
There are officially no discussions going on as we speak. That doesn't mean very much, because lots of times these things are, in fact, settled by discussions that you and I wouldn't hear about until they were over. I think the common wisdom is that once the players start to miss checks, there will be more pressure to come to some sort of agreement, some sort of settlement. But I have seen too many of these lockouts in too many different sports go on for too long to be willing to guess when this thing would end. It could go on for some time.
And what does this do to the game? What about the fans? Talking about the players missing checks, what about the fans missing games? I mean, at what point does this really start to alienate the fans?
Well, the fans are always alienated when this sort of thing happens in the short run, and in the long run, they always come back. I remember the last time there was a lockout in baseball, and everybody said, baseball will never be the same, and when the fans did come back, they threw dollar bills onto the field to make fun of the players. And yet now we're seeing attendance records broken all over the place in baseball, and so there'll be a bit of a whatever the opposite is of a honeymoon when the teams come back to play. But eventually, my guess is that they will start breaking records again.
So, Bill, before we let you go, this week on Only a Game, you'll have a story about how one NBA player is staying busy during the lockout. Tell us about that.
Stephen Curry, who plays for the Golden State Warriors and was a student at Davidson College in North Carolina before joining the NBA, he left without a degree, much to the chagrin of his mother and much to her delight. He's now back in school.
You know, the lockout's kind of a bittersweet thing, but it actually is a blessing because it not only gave him the opportunity to rest after his surgery, but it did open up the opportunity for him to return and get a full semester in and kind of keep him in the mode and the spirit of school.
So that's the proud mother of Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors. Her son is making good use of the NBA lockout, improving himself and going back to school. Bill Littlefield, thanks so much.
Thank you, Anthony.
Bill Littlefield is host of Only a Game, which you can hear every Saturday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. on WBUR. You can also hear him on Wednesdays right here on Radio Boston.
Up next, talking sisterhood with the Efren sisters. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.